We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
In Acts chapter 24 and verse 24, the Bible says that after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul, and he heard him concerning the faith in Christ, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come, Felix trembled. Now, last Sunday, I did a sermon entitled The First Point in Paul's Sermon, and we dealt with the subject of righteousness. Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come. As Paul stood before Felix, he talked to this very ungodly and very unrighteous man about the need to be righteous. Now, tonight, we're going to cover the second point in Paul's sermon, and that is temperance. You know, there is a philosophy in our country today that I find very disturbing. And the philosophy essentially says, whatever feels good, do it. Whatever you want to do, whatever desire you have, indulge it. It would have all restrictions taken away, and what dominates your life and what drives you in life is simply whatever you feel like doing. Do it your way. Whatever gives you pleasure, indulge yourself in it. Now, some people have very consciously adopted that as the philosophy by which they live. But there are other people, though they may not have gone through the thought process, for all practical purposes, that's the way they live. Whatever makes me happy, that's what I'm going to do. But I don't want you to think for a minute that what's going on in our country with regard to this movement is by any way a new thing. In the pages of the New Testament, in fact, in the scripture reading we had read tonight, you'll see that this same attitude was present. I want you to listen to what Paul says about the ancient Gentiles in Romans 1 and 24. He says, therefore God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Now listen to what he says. And who worshiped the creature rather than the Creator. It was all about the creature. It was all about themselves. And he mentions the lust of their hearts. That's what dominated them. That's what drove them. It's not a new thing at all. Now, in reading about that in the Bible and thinking about the atmosphere in which we live today, I think it's very timely and appropriate that we talk tonight about the subject of temperance. Point number one, what is temperance? What are we talking about? The dictionary, Webster's dictionary, defines temperance in the noun form as self-restraint in conduct, expression, or indulgence of appetites. Self-restraint with regard to indulgence of appetites. Now, temperate in the adjective form is moderate in the indulgence of appetites. It can also mean abstinence when you're talking about alcohol. Now, the biblical definition, Vine's Expository Dictionary, says that the word temperate means self-control. Thayer's Greek Lexicon says it means self-control, but it goes on to say this: the virtue of one who masters his desire and passion, especially with regard to sensual appetites. The New King James Bible simply uses the word self-control instead of the word temperance. And I think that's a good definition, self-control, because that's really what the word means, controlling your desires. Now, sometimes self-control would mean restricting them and being moderate. At other times, self-control would mean denying these things completely. Now, let me give you a good example of self-control in the Bible, of temperance in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, the Bible says, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, the example that Paul is giving here is an athlete, a man who's running a race. And he says, the man who's running the race, if he wants to win the goal, if he wants to get the medal or the trophy or the money or whatever the prize is, he said, if he's going to do that, he's going to be very self-controlled. You're not going to see the runner who wants to win the race hanging out at 3 o'clock in the morning. You're not going to see his plate stacked up with Snicker bars and pizza. You're not going to see this man lounging around on the couch all day, because if he's going to win the prize, he's got to control himself. That means there are going to be certain things that are unpleasant that he really doesn't feel like doing, but he's going to make himself do them. He's got self-control. And there are going to be some things that he really would like to do, but he doesn't do them because he's got self-control. Now, Paul uses this example of an athlete, and then he makes a spiritual application to us. There are some things that I really may not feel like doing in the spiritual realm, But if I have temperance and I'm self-controlled, I'm going to make myself do it. There may be times that on Sunday morning I say, I really don't want to go. I'm tired and I just don't feel like it. But I've got temperance. I've got self-control. And I'm going to curb that earthly, that fleshly desire to lay in the bed. And I'm going to get up and do what I'm supposed to do. There are going to be some times I'm going to face temptations. Things that will appeal to me that I want to give in to. But my self-control is going to say, no, I'm not going to do this. Think about the example of temperance in Christ in Matthew chapter 4. As He was in the wilderness, the Bible says that for 40 days He had not eaten. And then the Bible says, and afterward He was hungry. I've oftentimes thought that has to be one of the greatest understatements in all of the Bible. He hadn't eaten in 40 days and He was hungry. Well, I imagine He was. But you remember the devil came to Him then and said, turn these stones into bread. Now, for whatever the reason, it was going to be wrong. It would be sinful for Him to do that. He's very hungry. He's got a fleshly desire for this. He wants this food. But He says, I can't do it. I'm not going to do it because it wouldn't be right. That is self-control. And that's what we need to have. Now, who is temperance for? Number one, temperance is for the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul said, I discipline my body daily. I bring it into subjection, lest after I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. The King James says, lest I should be a castaway. And what Paul is saying is, the spiritual race, just like a physical race, as a runner will discipline himself and keep himself under control, he said, I do that in the spiritual realm. I look at my desires and I keep them under control. Things that I need to do that maybe I don't feel like doing, I make myself do them. I have self-control. And the reason is, he says, I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to lose my soul, in other words. Who's it for? Paul said, it's for me. Number two, who's it for? It's for elders. Titus chapter 1, verses 7 and 8 says, a bishop is blameless as a steward of God. He's not self-willed. He's not soon angry. He's not given to wine. He's not a striker. He's not given to filthy lucre. But he's a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy. And he finally says, temperate. The idea is that if a man is going to be qualified to be a shepherd of God's flock, he has to have self-mastery. He has to have self-restraint, self-control. An elder has to be a person who has his desires and his passions under control. You know, oftentimes we'll go through the qualifications of elders and we're very careful to be sure that a man has children and that they're believers and things like that. But sometimes we ignore some of the other qualifications. One of the qualifications of an elder is that he has to be temperate. Now, when you look at the qualifications I just read, think about the application of temperance. He can't be self-willed. It's not all about him. That is, he's got to have self-control in that area. He can't soon be angry, the text says. He's got to have self-control when it comes to his temper. He's not a striker. He doesn't lose his temper and hit someone. He is self-controlled. He's not given to filthy lucre. That is, his desire for things. He's not going to take money. He's self-controlled. You can see in almost every one of these qualifications, temperance must reign. Who is it for? Paul said it's for him. He said it's for elders. Number three, he said it is for aged men. Titus 2, verses 1 and 2. Paul told Titus, speak thou things which befit sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, and temperate. Now, aged men here means older men, men who have a few years on them. They're the old guys. You probably know who you are if you're one of them. But Paul said to Titus that the older men need to be temperate. Older men. Why did he single out the older men? Because they're going to set an example. The younger men are going to be looking at them, whether consciously they're looking at them or whether just by the course of life, they're going to see what the people before them did and they're going to follow it. And he said, because of that, you've got to be self-controlled. You as an older man, there are going to be times that there are things you need to do as a Christian and you're not going to want to do it. You don't feel like doing it. Control yourself and do what you need to do. You know, one way that I think we can relate this to a worldly example that explains it very well. Sometimes in the morning, the alarm clock goes off and you really don't want to get up. You're tired and you think, I'm just going to roll back over. I got that appointment. It's really not going to matter. But you know it does matter. And you force yourself to get up. And you go and you do what you have to do. Sometimes in the spiritual realm, it's that way. I have to push myself to do the things that I need to do, and I'm better for it. Who's it for? Paul said it's for him, it's for elders, it's for aged men, and it's for all Christians. In Galatians 5:16, Paul writes, walk in the Spirit. That means walk according to the word of the Spirit. Follow the Bible, in other words. Verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. One of the fruits, one of the products of the Word of God is temperance. Now, he describes them as the fruit of the Spirit. The word fruit here is the Greek word karpos. It means the product of. Just like a fruit is a product of a tree, he says temperance is a product of the Word of God. That is, if you spend time in the Word and you study it and you read the examples and you see the things that God wants of you, it will come to be in your life. You'll grow to have temperance and love and joy and peace and long suffering. 2 Peter 1 and verse 5 says, and beside this, give all diligence, listen, give all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. He says, add temperance, self-control to your life. But the thing that's very interesting about it, in this section we commonly call the Christian graces, Paul says, give all diligence. Are you accidentally going to get temperance? You accidentally just going to wake up one morning and be self-controlled? Doesn't happen that way. It's just the opposite. In fact, I've got to really make the effort to be self-controlled. Give all diligence to do this. Now, to answer the question, who is temperance for? It's for elders. It's for the Apostle Paul. It's for older men. It's for all Christians, and since all men are commanded to obey the gospel, it's for everybody. All men should practice self-control. Now, in what areas of my life do I need temperance? I can make a long list here. I'm just going to give you a few. Number one, I want to suggest we need temperance. We need self-control when it comes to our tongues. You know, if there is one area of my life I need self-control, it would be this one. It's going to be the tongue. James wrote, if any man among you seems to be religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his heart, and this man's religion is in vain. James 3:26. Now, let's break that down a little bit. Analyze it. If any man seems to be religious and he doesn't control his tongue, his religion is vain. Vain means worthless. And so you're a religious man. You're here every time the doors are open. You carry your Bible under your arm. But you're a person who speaks your mind a little too freely. You fudge on the truth sometimes. You gossip. You run other people down. He says you might seem to be a religious man, but it's a worthless religion. The Lord's not pleased with it, and you're not going to go to heaven. You see, the tongue is important. I've got to have self-control when it comes to my tongue. I read, this verse made me think about something that I heard someone say one time. You tell me if you think this is true. It said, you can tell a lot more about a person by what he says about others than what they say about him. You think that's true? You can tell a lot more about a person by what he says about others than what they say about him. I think that's a true statement. Because, you know, our mouth is really an insight into the soul. The words that come out of my mouth tell you what is inside of me. And if you hear me running other people down, you know that I don't have temperance. You also see something about my character. You also see something about my religion and how seriously I take it. You know, words are they're so dangerous. You know, James talks about this in James chapter 3 and verse 5. He says the tongue is a little member, but it boasts great things. He says the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. And then he goes on to say it defiles the whole body. It sets on fire the course of nature and is set on the fire of hell. And then he says, for every type of beast and bird and serpent and things in the sea have been tamed by mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now, when I hear how much damage the tongue can do, I got to have self-control. I've got to practice self-control. 2 Peter chapter 1, giving all diligence. I've got to control my tongue. Sometimes people will say, well, you know, that's just how I am. I just can't control my tongue. I just speak my mind. That's my nature. Then you better learn to change, because you can't be a Christian and be of that nature. You've got to have self-control with regard to this. We've got to control the tongue. I heard a story about a man one time, and he asked a lady to marry him, and she said that she would. And after they got married, the man quit talking. He never said another word. And one of his friends came to him one day and asked him, "Why is it that after she accepted your proposal, you have never said another word?" And he finally spoke up and he said, "Well, I think I said enough already." Well, we've got to control our tongue. Sometimes we've said enough already. You know who's a good example of controlling the tongue, self-control? Think about Job. You remember what the Bible says about Job in Job chapter 2 and verse 10? After all of these calamities had happened to Job, the Bible says in all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. Wouldn't that be great if that could be said about us? In all of the things that we do in life, if it could be said that so-and-so, put your name in the blank, he did not sin with his lips. What a great accomplishment that would be. Number two, let's move on. If we think about areas in which we need temperance with regard to our temper. We need temperance, if you would. James 1:19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." Now, this verse hits the tongue and the temper. And that's good because so many people's tempers are connected to their tongues. And our temper is something that the Bible constantly warns us about. Solomon wrote, "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, and he that is hasty of spirit exalts folly." Proverbs 14:29. Now that's a fascinating verse. A person who is hasty in the spirit, that is, they've got a rash temper and they're just going to speak up and say things. Some people are proud of that. And they say, "Well, you know, I just told him how it was. I just spoke my mind. I unloaded on him." They kind of pat themselves on the back and brag about it. But the Lord says a person who is hasty of spirit exalts folly. He puts folly, foolishness, way up here. Very foolish person, the Bible says, who can't control his emotions and his temper. Proverbs 16:32 says, "He that is slow to anger is better than a mighty man. And he that rules his spirit is better than he that takes a city." A man who leads an army and captures a city is a mighty man. He says a person who can control his own emotions, he's stronger than that guy. When it comes to our tempers, we have to have temperance, self-control. Ephesians 4:26, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Now, what does that mean? Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Sometimes it may mean I need to go to a brother and take care of a matter. I need to set the record straight. I need to fix this. Sometimes it might simply mean let it roll off your back. You know, we talked this morning in Bible class about road rage. Sometimes what I need to do is just forget about it and move on. I'm not going to harp on it. I'm not going to sulk about it. I'm not going to let that anger eat at me. I'm going to move on. Number three, we need to have temperance. Now listen to me. With regard to drinking. Now, you might be thinking, well, that doesn't belong in that category because temperance carries with it the idea of moderation and we're not to drink at all. That's true. We shouldn't drink any alcohol, not a drop of it. But I think the word temperance carries with it more the idea of self-control. And when we think about this, for some people, there is no temptation to drink. And so this is not something I have to control myself with regard to. But for other people, this might be a daily struggle. It might be one of those things that every time they see it, they struggle because they want to pick up that bottle and they have to have self-control. And they have to say, "I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to give in." It requires some extreme self-discipline, self-mastery, if you will, not to partake of this. Number four, we need to have temperance with regard to earthly possessions. Now, possessions can be a stumbling block for a lot of people. I think about the rich young ruler, Matthew chapter 19. You remember he came to Jesus and he went away in a lost condition because he loved his stuff so much. He didn't have self-control. He did not have temperance. He loved his things more than he loved the Lord, and he traded eternal salvation for his money here and now. I think about Joshua chapter 7 and Achan, and he was tempted by possessions. You remember when the Lord sent him into the city of Jericho, he said, "Don't take anything. Don't steal anything. Leave everything. Everything there is for dedication to the Lord." But when Achan got there, he said, "I saw a garment, and it was so nice. It was a Babylonian garment. And he said, I saw some silver, 200 shekels worth, and I saw a wedge of gold there, and it was 50 shekels. And I looked at it, and I coveted it, and I took it. Joshua 7:21. Now, I'm likely not going to be in a situation where I'm in war and thinking about stealing things. But you know, sometimes there are things in this life that I see and I want and I really can't afford it. It's really not in my best interest. And maybe my money would be more wisely spent elsewhere, but I do it because I want it. I don't practice self-control. And we have a big problem with this in America. I think part of our financial crisis going on in this country right now is because we have not practiced self-control. Some of the people in government, some of the people in business haven't practiced temperance. And it's gotten us into trouble. We can't let our wants control us. Next, we've got to have temperance with regard to the use of our time. Now, this may be one of the areas that troubles people more than anything else. When Jesus was on the earth, this is what he said, John 9:4. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Now, what did he mean by that? What he was saying is, I've got a very limited amount of time to do the work that the Father sent me to do. And the sun is going down and the day is running out and I have got to stay busy and do this amount of work. The same thing applies to every single one of us. We have the Lord's business to be about. And sometimes the reason we don't get the Lord's business done is because we're not self-controlled. Ephesians 5 and verse 16 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise men, redeeming the time because the days are evil. When he says that they're evil, they're slipping away, they're just gone. He says, buy back. The word redeem means to buy back the time. You capture the time. Make use of the time. And each one of us has a responsibility to use our time very wisely. And I tell you what, that's going to take self-discipline. That means if I'm going to study like I should, I'm going to have to set up a schedule and say, this is when I'm going to study the Bible. If I'm going to pray like I should, I'm going to have to say there's a certain amount of time that I'm going to pray, and these are the times that I'm going to do it. It's not just going to happen. The time's not just going to be there. If I'm going to visit the sick, I'm going to have some sort of regiment to do it. And when a person says, well, I don't study the Bible because I just don't have time, what that person is telling you is, I'm not temperate. I'm not self-controlled. I haven't laid out this plan of how I'm going to accomplish the Lord's will. And so often we don't accomplish God's will because we're not temperate. Next, we need to have self-control, temperance, with regard to sexual desires. Now, you know, sexual relations are a good thing in their proper context and in the proper outlet. That is the marriage relationship. And when it comes to our sexual urges and our sexual desires, we absolutely have to exercise self-control. And this is one of the areas that people are very weak. You know, young people really need to listen to this and they need to think about this. Sometimes a teenage boy will say, well, you know, I just can't help myself. It's my hormones. I just can't help myself. You can help yourself. You got to help yourself. Unless you're married to that young girl, keep your hands off of her. Because this is something that requires self-control. If you're going to go to heaven and you're going to please the Lord, you've got to do this. And you know, sometimes young people, they begin to date and they begin to kiss. And I've got a preacher friend who says, when you come home at the end of a date, there's a difference in the kiss that says good night and one that says come in. One that says goodbye and one that says come in. And I think you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes young people begin to kiss and it arises emotions within them and it's not right. It's something that's inappropriate. They shouldn't be kissing that way. It's leading them down a path that the Lord has reserved for married people. Parents, you need to tell your kids about this. You need to teach them about this. You know, you think about King David. And you think about how he gave in to his sexual desire. And you think about the trouble that it caused him. He took another man's wife. If you read 2 Samuel, you'll see all of the agony that came as a result of this. David had to pay for this sin for the rest of his life. On the other hand, you've got an example of the right type of person. Genesis 39, a man who had self-control. Because here is Joseph. And Potiphar's wife came to him. And she said, Joseph, we're all alone in the house. Nobody's here. It's just the two of us. Come and lie with me. And he said, no, I won't. He let go of his garment and he ran out of there because he had self-control. He said, I'm not going to do this. You see, we've got to have self-control. If a person doesn't have self-control in this area, he's not going to be what a Christian should be. He's not going to please the Lord and he's going to have disaster in his life. Last, we need to have self-control. I don't know exactly how to phrase this, but I might say just with regard to anything. Because almost anything can be sinful if you overindulge in it. You know, eating is good. It's something that's proper. It's something that we need. But if I eat to the point of gluttony, then I have sinned. Relaxation is fine. We need it. The Lord, it's something we see the Lord would even do. Stop and rest. But relaxation to the point of laziness is sin. Humor is good. But humor can get out of hand if I don't know where to draw the line. In so many areas, I've got to have self-control. All right, let's get to the last point. How do I get temperance? You say, I can see that I need it. Obviously, I need it if I'm going to please the Lord. How do I learn to control myself? I'm going to give you four answers very quickly. Number one, if you want to control yourself, spend time in the Word of God. Fill yourself with the Word of God. Why do I say that? Because Galatians 5 that we looked at a minute ago said that temperance is a product, a fruit of the Word of the Spirit. If you spend time studying about Joseph, and you spend time studying about Paul, and you spend time studying about Job, and these passages that we've been looking at tonight, the product will be temperance in your life. Number two, if you want to get temperance in your life, then you need to follow 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. Now what's he saying there? You've got to work at it. Spend time in the Word and you've got to work at it. You've got to make an effort. If you're a person who has a problem with your tongue and you just fly off and say what's on your mind and tell people what you're thinking, then you need to say, I am not going to do that anymore because I see some passages in the Bible that teach me that's wrong. I'm going to write that down on a note. I'm going to stick it on my mirror. I'm going to have it in my car. I'm going to put it on my computer screen. I'm going to have some methods that help me. I'm going to say to my spouse, help me with this. I don't want to do that anymore. I'm going to stop it. And you know what? You will. People say, I can't help it. You can help it. And you will if you give all diligence. Spend time in the Word. Give all diligence. Number three, I might should have made this number one, deny yourself. Understand that life is not all about me. If I'm a Christian, life is about service to the Lord. This will help you with regard to self-control. You remember Jesus said in Matthew 16:25, For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Number four, watch yourself daily. Check yourself on a daily basis. 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul says, I buffet my body daily. I bring it into subjection. If you've got the idea, we had a sermon tonight on temperance. And so this next week, I'm going to think about this and everything will be okay. It's not the way it's going to work because we have a way of drifting. That's just the human nature. But I'm going to check myself on a regular basis with regard to these areas. I'm going to find out what my problem areas are, and that's the areas I'm really going to check. Whether it's the tongue or whether it's my temper or whatever it may be. And I'm going to focus on them and I'm going to do it regularly, maybe every single day. Temperance is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's one of the Christian graces. It's a vital addition that every one of us has to have in our Christian lives if we're going to please God and go to heaven.